Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Father. Not on our own, but Father God, what you did for us, Lord God, a substitutionary work at Calvary. And now, Lord God, you're at the right hand of the Father, making divine intercession for us. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That prayer right there, if you pray that, how many times you pray that, the total prayer, I stopped in the middle. But the thing about that prayer is, if you pray that and you believe that, then revelation is for you. Because before heaven can come on earth, there has to be a cleansing done. And this is what revelation is telling you tonight. There's a cleansing being done. And you should be joyful over it, and even though in chapter 4 you were out of here. But then again, we should always warn them so that their blood will not be on our hands. Amen?
Amen.
And even those that are in Christ, like Pastor preached here in 2 Timothy, that we are in perilous times. And perilous times mean that we better be rooted and grounded in the Word of God and have our feet firmly planted on the rock. Because quite honestly, we really haven't been through tribulation. Not great tribulation, because we're not going through that. But we really haven't been in tribulation, where we've been under duress, where we've been suppressed, where we've been downtrodden. And those are the things that, when you haven't been through them, if you would experience them, then you would have to be firmly planted on the rock. But if you want the earth to be as it is in heaven, then this is what's coming on the earth. Because there's a cleansing coming. There's a cleansing coming because there's a government now that's corrupt, murderous, liars, deceivers, and their king is coming to lead them. A good point I'd like to make, that a lot of this is happening too because when they go through the trials and tribulations, the Lord Jesus will know who the true worshipers are. Lord Jesus will know who are his, because they won't run to the mountains or to the hills. They will stand with their feet firmly planted on the rock.
Amen.
But of course, we're not going to be here, because you would be gone. But of course, if you've seen the heavens disappear, or if you've seen an asteroid hit the oceans and split the oceans and turn it to red blood, as a wormwood's supposed to do, and as there is an asteroid heading here, that they are titled, they did name it Wormwood, and they did shoot a warhead in it, trying to explode it. So that's how close we are. Now, God's people are still here, and I firmly believe his hand is upon us. Nothing can hurt you. God has you in his hands. But don't fail to warn them that this is coming on earth, and that's why you're here tonight, and that's why you're blessed, because if you hear this, then you can share it. Amen?
Amen.
I had a fellow in a pickup truck that I know, he stopped in front of my house, and I went and talked to him, and he was well-versed in Revelation and what he knew, but he still, you could see, I sensed that fear in him. And we can't have that. If we're going to be witnesses for Christ, we have to have that confidence in him. He'll do what he said he's going to do. Amen? Amen. Thank you. If you're there in Revelation 12, I'm going to read Revelation 12 because I think reading it, and then we're going to go back and we're going to talk about it because I think you should hear the word, and I want to make sure that before we rightly divide the word that I have read it to you. So we're not going past chapter 12 tonight. I would like to, but I'm not going to make it there. I don't, because I have so much I want to tell you. But if we do, we're blessed.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 12. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God. And they should feed her there 1,260 days. Verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither their place was found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth a man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have testimony of Jesus Christ. So let's go back to 12:1. Let's talk about the first verse a little bit here. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, as a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head crowned of 12 stars. The word translated here in appeared is from the Greek word horaio, H-O-R-A-O. A better translation was seen. So when John seen this vision, he actually seen the vision. But this also was seen. So if that means it was seen, was John the only one that seen the vision? Because it was in the heavens, it was seen. The original word means perceive with our eyes. The expression is used with a reference to bodily sight and applies particularly to the object looked at. The Greek word simeon, S-E-M-E-I-O-N, is translated wonder. However, this word should be translated sign, since the idea communicated in this verse, there was a great sign in heaven. Even though the symbol was seen in heaven by John, several things prove that that which is symbolized by the woman is in the earth. Upon delivery, the man-child will be caught up to heaven. Revelation 12:5. She will flee into the wilderness being upon the earth. And the dragon will be cast to the earth and will persecute the woman. A flood will be cast out of the dragon's mouth to devour the woman. But the earth will aid her by swallowing the flood. All of this could not be true if she were in heaven. So the vision that he sees is going to happen on earth. The woman is clearly a symbol, but in this teaching, says that we must make a distinction between her and what she symbolizes. The woman cannot be a symbol of, now this, before I get into this teaching here, it has one opinion, okay? Now, I have another one here that was given to me, which is another opinion. So, the woman, they all agree, is the mother of Israel. Okay, the travailing gives birth to a man-child. They all don't agree, because one teaching says a man-child was 144,000. The other teaching says the man-child was Jesus. The other teaching says this is about Virgin Mary. Okay, this is about the child Jesus, and this is about the king Herod coming after him to devour the child, which makes sense. The other teaching says that they believe it's 144,000 because it was a symbol in the sky that's happening on earth. So they felt that in that regard that John knew that that was past. He knew that Mary and King Herod come after the child. John knew all that. So in here he sees the vision as it's going to be on earth here. So they made the argument that it was the 144,000 because there would have to be, if a woman's travailing, there would have to be a birth. And if it's on the earth and it's in context in present form, right now in this teaching, then it would have to be something birthed. And they believe it was 144,000 that was birthed because they would be the first fruits when they were raptured to the Father in heaven. Does that make sense? And the other one makes sense. So if you want to go look that up and argue that, that would be great study for you guys. I'm not advocating either. I'm giving you this teaching, and I'm letting you know that that's what this teaching was doing. It was advocating the 144,000. It said, the woman is clearly a symbol. We must make a distinction between her and what she symbolizes. This woman cannot be a symbol of Virgin Mary, the church, or Christendom, okay, because in the discussion of the man-child, she appears to be symbolizing the nation of Israel. They both agree with that. All the Israelites who will be in Palestine during the 70th week and form a nation at that time. There are several reasons for this. First of all, Israel is often mentioned in the Old Testament as a married woman. The book of Hosea presents the idea of Israel being married to God and pictures her backsliding. Dorothy? It pictures her backsliding and immorality and leaving God. And I had that discussion with Dorothy about Hosea. If you haven't read Hosea, go read it because it not only typifies back then, it's talking about today too. Those that say they love Jesus and I am a Christian and Christ is my king and I'm going to live Christ-like. But as soon as they leave the church Monday morning, they're totally living like the world. And Hosea pictures that because she leaves him three different times, and I believe the fourth time, if I'm correct, he has to go buy her off the auction block because she left her and she went playing prostitute. And I think that's what we do today. Not us here, but most Christians, if not some, and I don't want to get in numbers here, but I'm saying that if you're, Bert sings that song, bring your Bible on Sunday, and you know, you can't find it on Monday. So why am I saying that? Because tribulation is going to bring out the true saints. When you have to go through and you didn't make the rapture, you're going to be crying out to somebody unless you're going to go hide in the rocks. And they got places you can hide in the rocks because I understand that the Denver airport, there's two whole cities underground that are built there. So when the Bible says they're going to go hide in the rocks, they're actually going to go. And by the way, it's even hooked up to Washington, D.C. They have a monorail under there, whatever, that runs to the Capitol. So they're going to hide in their caves because they don't want to trust God. They trust themselves. Be careful. Be careful with your heart that you don't trust in money. You don't trust in a job. You don't trust in a friend. You've got to trust in Jesus. He wants all of our heart. And parts that are held back and hid there, he wants those parts. The Holy Spirit knows. funny thing, because I talked to Danny. Danny, will you help me with this again? We talked about the king of Israel at that time, and they come after. That was what Danny was saying, because Elijah knew the conversation that was taking place in the king's chamber, and the king got mad about that. So here's what I'm telling you. If we hook up with Christ and we listen to the Holy Spirit, Nick, I was sharing that with you. Remember, Nick? If you listen to that still small voice, you'll know what's going on, and you'll be safe. You won't get entangled with the world and the affairs, because they're corrupt, as this king was corrupt. So I wanted to make that point to you. The book of Hosea presents the idea of Israel being married to God and pictures her backsliding and immorality as leaving God and her subsequent humiliation and brokenness in the wilderness. She returns to her husband. So I think we should protect our heart, don't you? That's quite a gift. A married woman here symbolizes Israel during the middle of the week and on the coming of Christ. In the second place, it can be noted that she follows three classes of people that are recognized in the Bible: the church, the Jews, and the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 10:32. At the time of this woman's travail in the middle of the week, the church will have been removed from the earth, leaving only the Jews and the Gentiles. She would not be the Gentile world, or the Jews leaving the Gentile world. Consequently, she must be the Jews who have left other nations and gone to their own land, awaiting the Messiah. Revelations 4:1. There is no reference to the church on earth after Revelations 4:1, but notably, evidence of Israel. Israel is not the church. It is one dealt with in Revelation 6:19 and must be a woman. That argument makes sense to y'all? I think she represents Israel. The woman in travail, Revelation 12:2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. The woman is in travail. I want to go and read, keep your place there, but I think when we talk about travail, I want to go to Galatians 4:19. Galatians 4:19 will bring out a nice little description of travail that I really like. Galatians 4:19 says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in thee." This travailing that this woman was doing, she was travailing because Christ had to be formed in those that were going to get the 144,000 that were going to be put there to go witness, 12,000 out of each tribe that we were going to go witness. That had to be birthed. Because we were birthed. You weren't born of a woman. You were born of God. You were begotten. You was not made by hands. Your spiritual man in you, when you become a new creation, 1 Corinthians 5:17, you were begotten. Just as Jesus was begotten. We were begotten by the Holy Spirit, by the Father. We were born again. And this is what, when she's travailing, she's giving them time. She's travailing to give Israel time. Because you know what? They have to go through that tribulation to see how much sin they're in. And then to be, didn't you come to a point where you were in too much sin that you had to be born again? You wanted a new life? Because you were just tired of that sin and that same old, and we lied to ourselves and said that was a great life, but it really wasn't. So we were born again. And a new life. You were a new creation. You become the righteousness in Christ Jesus. Now, God of mercy and God of grace, okay, we are not here during this time, but he's going to give Israel that same chance Because the 144,000, as Pastor preached over, they are going to go witnessing, telling them that you must be born again. Now, isn't that nice? I thank Jesus for that. I love him. He wishes that all men will be saved. So when Paul says this, he says that, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. God travailed. Jesus travailed. He did his work at Calvary so that Christ can be formed in us. Now, back to Revelation. Israel travailing during the middle of the week will result in the catching up of the man-child. Then God will supernaturally protect the woman in the wilderness and the remnant in Palestine by directing the attention of the Antichrist toward the threatenings of the northern and eastern nations just mentioned. God's actually going to take the north nations, some of them, and some of them in the south, and they're going to make war. Now, this is going to be a distraction that the Antichrist is going to have to get his troops in order again because there is, you know, trouble in the camp, which is going to give Israel time, which Israel needs time, for those trib kids to come out of there and 144,000 to come out. Secondly, the woman herself will be delivered at the end of the week when the Antichrist with many nations tries to destroy Israel. Israel will be converted as a result of this travail, and the Antichrist will be defeated by the return of Christ to earth with the saints and angels. Israel will be exalted, and Christ will set up his own kingdom. Hallelujah. Yeah. We'll get to go up to Mount Zion and talk to our Father every day. Hallelujah. I thought about that. That really excited me. I want to make sure that I give you all my side note points. The woman's identity should not be more important than her destiny. So no matter what you think that she represents, okay? Her identity should not be more important than her destiny. But when we talked about the north and the south, in Joel 3:7, it says, behold, I'm going to stir them up from the place where you sold them and return them to their land. Amen. Zechariah 9:10 says, and the bow of war shall be cut off. He sets up Israel. Pastor talked about that in his sermon that he spoke. Where will you be? I think the title of that was, where are you? And he talks about the earth, the natural travailing of the earth in Romans 8. He talked about the natural travailing of the nations. And I thought that travailing come out real nice the way he was teaching it. And so this is the travailing of Israel. Amen. Excuse me. There's seven raptures, actually, Enoch, Elijah, Jesus, the church, the tribulation saints, the 144,000, and the two witnesses. Now, you could go back and probably find more, but these are the raptures that are events. And four of them take place in Revelation. Be the church, the tribulation saints, the 144,000, and the two witnesses. We're going to go on to Revelations 12, 3 and 4. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour the child as soon as it was born. The great red dragon is appropriate symbol of Satan, he mercilessly persecutes the murderers and murders multitudes of unfortunate people. He is portrayed as Leviathan, which I thought that was interesting. I remember reading that in the Old Testament, I believe, in Job, didn't he? Leviathan, yeah. And the piercing serpent, the crooked serpent, the dragon that is in the sea. The word dragon is used 13 times in the New Testament, and only in Revelation, this being the first time of his mention. We must differentiate between the symbol and that which is symbolized. The dragon is a symbol of Satan, a chief adversary of God. The seven heads and the 10 horns symbolize the same seven world kingdoms. And seven heads and 10 horns are referred to on the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13. God will use these nations in his purpose of judging Israel from the beginning of her history to Christ's coming. The nations involved are Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and the 10 kingdoms of the revised Rome. The crowns on the head show that Satan has reigned and will reign over these seven kingdoms. He has tried to destroy Israel under the first six kingdoms. In the seventh kingdom, which is revised Rome, made up of 10 kingdoms, he will again attempt her destruction. But as the other occasions, he will meet defeat by God. And this is the European common markets. He's gathering, and that's all purpose to come against Israel. And I do understand that by satellite, I think it's the Euphrates River is just about dried up, which is going to open the gateway for them armies to march on Israel. The beast out of the sea will have 10 horns crowned. Notice that though it is not the seven heads, which would indicate that he is to be a new in existence, that he has not lived through the length of the seven empires, he will, however, come in the future and conquer the 10 horns or the seventh kingdom and reign over it and become the last kingdom before Christ's coming. This symbol is also seen in heaven. It is indicated that one-third of the stars of heaven were cast to earth. The stars are referenced to angels of God, and casting down pertains to one-third that fell with Satan, as recorded in Ezekiel 28, which Pastor talked about in his sermon. These stars are called his angels. The reference cannot be literal stars, since they are generally larger than the earth, and two, in the New Testament. Angels are called stars. The dragon stands before the woman, which is ready to be delivered literally, is about to bring forth a man-child, is delivered into the middle of the week. The dragon will try to destroy the man-child, after which he will turn on the woman. To put this in perspective, we may know briefly the actions of the dragon in Revelation after he's cast down to earth. First, he forms an alliance with the Antichrist. You know, I'm just thinking, if you haven't yet got a copy of Pastor's sermon, go get that. That really lines up the events. And he actually is talking exactly what I'm talking about here. So it's such a terrific. I listened to it three times. I got to go back and listen to it again because there's so much in there. Right. I mean, he has touched on Magog, Gog. He has touched on the events. And it's a great teaching. First, he forms an alliance with the Antichrist to give him power, throne, and authority. Then both of them turn on this woman, which brings forth a man-child. Satan tries to destroy the man-child, but is unsuccessful. As a man-child is raptured, he continues his long-standing enmity towards Israel, causing her to flee into Edom and Moab, with her pursuing army swallowed up by the earth. I want to stop there because I really wondered about that. Moab was the one, Denny, that did all the sacrifices of the children. They actually slaughtered children. And actually, it is a symbol of the abortion today, what they did back then. So I was just surprised that God picked Moab to send a woman into the wilderness to protect her for 3.5 years, and Moab was going to do that, was willingly going to do that. So that kind of really was interesting. And if you see in here, here's another interesting thing. When the in verse 4 it says, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them in the earth." Now, then on down it says they were actually, God actually threw them out, But then this context says his tail actually sweep them out. So, and God knows the heart and knows that pride, so they obviously his pride kind of went on those, you know, and made them get puffed up too. So, but I thought it was interesting, his tail, the dragon's tail, Satan took his tail and sweeped one third of the angels and threw them to earth. So we talked about Edom and Moab with causing her to flee to Edom and Moab with her pursuing army swallowed up by the earth, and God intervenes. The dragon will be provoked by this and will come back to war with a remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed. So there has to be Christians, that's believing Christians, they're talking about a remnant here. And I think that's what God's heart was, to come back and get this remnant. He don't leave anybody. If you love him and you're true to him, he's coming after you. And the remaining Jews, this is the remaining Jews that did not flee into the wilderness. They didn't go hide in caves. It is then that God stirs up the enemies of the north and the east and the kingdoms of the old Roman Empire. The Antichrist will finally conquer them about the end of the week and go against Jerusalem. And he intended to do in the middle of the week. He will, however, be defeated by Christ, who will come at this time to deliver Israel and set up his earthly kingdom. Satan will be in a league with the Antichrist, and the nations will be stirred to the fight against Christ. In Armageddon, he will be thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Nations will not be deceived by Satan again until he's loose for a little of a season after the 1,000 years. And at this time, he will try to lead a rebellion against God. Now, isn't that something? After 1,000 years, he's going to be loose, because there's still those, even at that time, that in their heart rebels against God. Elijah, but then Elijah knew what was going on in the chambers. God knows what's going on in our chambers of our hearts. He knows that. As we sit here tonight, he knows what's going on in the chamber of our heart. That's why we should be faithful and continually work out our salvation. Work out those things that are getting our eyes off of Christ. Work them out. He doesn't want you to get rid of them unless they're evil. But if you just got to make a decision that my heart's not going to wander or be pulled, or my eyes are not going to turn from the things of God. Now, I say this in respectfully, and I do. I think us here, you are the remnant. You come out here. I believe Wednesdays are a remnant. Those that have that heart for God, that zeal. And we have to get that zeal on somebody else. We have to get that on somebody else, where it's in the jails or where it's in a geriatric home or wherever. We got to get that zeal on somebody else. We got to get it. We got to spread it around. Amen? Because these times are true. The Bible is true. Let the Word of God be true and every man a liar. So if you want to know what the truth is, read the truth. And like Pastor says, read Revelation. Read it. And on his tape. That's why I said to get it, because he has some nuggets there. You don't understand it, you don't have to understand it. You just read it. And I'm winding down because I feel this is a good place to stop, because I'll pick it up again. But it's very interesting about the woman, the man-child, and the dragon. So we need to witness, and this is what we're here for, to take as many as we can, take them with us for Christ, because I think the time is very, very short, very short, very short. I mean, there's people now, you don't set time and dates, you don't do that, but there's people talking now in May. Seriously, May 23rd, I think was a date. Now, we don't date set, we don't do that, because I believe this. I believe that God is on the throne, Jesus is waiting to return, and he will do what he will do when he wants to do it. And when he sees that some souls could come in, if only for one, he will not put Jesus on that horse to come back till that one soul is saved. That's what a loving God we have. If you can grasp that, you grasp the love of God, but you shouldn't tempt the love of God. But that's what I believe is going on right now. You can set the date you want, but if he sees his children getting up and finally realizing with a fervent heart that they have a work to do, and he sees his children start to move in the vineyard to harvest the grapes. Amen. He's going to wait and let you do just that. Amen. Thank you for listening. Be blessed tonight. And it was a privilege.